Motion number 4 on prevention and suppression of terrorism. Minister to move. Minister Dan Jarvis.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I beg to move that the Terrorism Act 2000 Prescribed Organisations Amendment Order of 2025, which was laid before the House on the 30th of June, be approved. I'm grateful to the House for its consideration of this draft order, which will see three distinct groups proscribed. They are Maniacs Murder Cult, Palestine Action, and the Russian Imperial Movement. I'm going to make a bit of progress. I think it is not unreasonable. The prescription of these three organisations will reaffirm the UK's zero tolerance approach to terrorism, regardless of its form or underlying ideology. Now, first, Madam Deputy Speaker, it may be helpful if I set out some background to the prescription power. To prescribe an organisation, the Home Secretary must reasonably believe that it is concerned in terrorism. This means that the organisation commits or participates in terrorism, it prepares for terrorism, it promotes or encourages terrorism, or it is otherwise concerned in terrorism. Some 80 terrorist organisations are currently prescribed under the Terrorism Act of 2000. Prescription is, rightly, ideologically neutral. It judges an organisation on its actions and the actions it is willing to deploy in pursuit of its cause. The UK's definition of terrorism was established in law a quarter of a century ago, and it has stood the test of time and extensive scrutiny since. I'll make a little bit of progress and then I will give way. It has three limbs. One, the use or threat of action must reach a certain level of seriousness, such as serious violence or serious damage to property. Two, the use or threat must be designed to influence a government or intimidate the public or a section of the public. And three, the use or threat must be made for the purpose of advancing a political, religious, racial or ideological cause. Successive independent reviewers of terrorism legislation have upheld the UK's terrorism definition as effective and fit for purpose, even as the threat from terrorism has evolved. I'll give way in just a moment. Madam Deputy Speaker, prescription is one of the most powerful counter-terrorism tools available to government. Any decision to prescribe is taken with great care and following rigorous consideration, as noted by Jonathan Hall KC in his report on the operation of the Terrorism Acts of 2022. I will give way to the Right Honourable Gentleman.
Jeremy Corbyn.
Thank you, Minister, for giving way, and I'm grateful to him for that. I think the question that many of us want to put to him is, why has he linked these three organisations together? He clearly has made a judgment on each of the three organisations independently of each other, and I think it would be fair, and I'm sure many outside would think it would be fair, if we were taking individual votes on the three. Because many of us are very concerned about the issue facing Palestine Action, and that is the issue that we wish to address in the debate here today.
Mr. Dan Jarvis.
I can say to the Right Honourable Gentleman that I will come on and explain with real clarity precisely why we have proceeded in the way that we have. But I suspect that he has a long memory, and he will recall, I'm sure, that when he's voted against prescribing a number of organisations previously, including Al-Qaeda, in 2001, that particular motion was bundled along with 20 other militant organisations. So there is clear precedent for doing this. And I can say to him, the reason that we seek to do it is to demonstrate that we don't attach any kind of ideological prism with which to seek to make a judgment. The Home Secretary will take a view based on a legal threshold, and that is the basis on which we have proceeded. I'll give way to the Honourable Member.
First of all, can I thank the Minister for bringing this forward, and Minister, my party I will be supporting government and putting this, and if it does come to a vote, as some I think might indicate they wish to do, we'll support government and Labour, because security, coming from Northern Ireland, we understand what it means to have security and what's important to have government and ministers and the police and the army and MI5 and MI6 all have responsibility. Minister, this question I want to ask, in relation to the membership of those organisations, will it be the intention of the minister to is there a list of Palestine Action, for instance? Is there a list of those who may be members? I don't know where they are. There might be some in this house, perhaps. But if there is, perhaps maybe we'd understand, and will they be subject to the rulings of prescription as well? Thank you.
Look, I'm grateful to him for his intervention, and I know that he speaks with great authority on these matters, born out of his extensive experience of dealing with these matters in Northern Ireland. Can I just say to him that if he's just a little bit patient and if the House allows me to make a bit of progress, then I will explain and respond to the point that he's raised and the point that other honourable members are seeking to raise. So if the House will allow, I will now turn to the specific measures before the House today, taking each of the proposed additions to the list of prescribed organisations in order. Madam Deputy Speaker, first, the Maniacs Murder Cult, also known as MMC. MMC is an insidious, white supremacist, neo-Nazi organisation that operates online and across borders. It aims to encourage individuals to engage in acts of violence against people that it perceives as antisocial, including homeless people, drug addicts and migrants, all to further its own ideology and degrade human society through violence. The government assesses that MMC commits, prepares for, and promotes and encourages acts of terrorism. MMC members and leaders have claimed a number of violent attacks globally that were committed in pursuit of the group's aims. MMC supplies instructional material that could increase the capability or motivation of an aspiring attacker, including a guide which provides information on how to fatally attack someone with a knife and use a vehicle as a weapon. Members and non-members share MMC's material and other online content, including videos of violent attacks to encourage further violence in support of its ideology. On the 22nd of May, a 21-year-old Georgian national, considered to be one of MMC's leaders, known as Commander Butcher, was extradited to the United States and is set to stand trial in New York for soliciting hate crimes and acts of mass violence. As set out in the indictment, he is alleged to have recruited individuals online to promote MMC's ideologies by committing acts of murder, arson, bombing and mass poisoning in New York, targeted specifically at members of ethnic minority groups, homeless people and Jewish schoolchildren. As this case illustrates, MMC has a truly transnational audience, including the UK. It does not matter where the leaders of this network are based, if they are capable of inspiring acts of violence and terror in any country. Vulnerable individuals, such as minors, are particularly exposed to the horrific material MMC publishes and distributes online. This government will not stand by and allow the terrorist threat and wider societal harms caused by the MMC to persist. Prescribing MMC is key to help deter and divert individuals from engaging with MMC's violent content and sends a clear signal to social media companies to remove MMC's material from their platforms. The threat posed by MMC must be taken extremely seriously. Whether they are inspiring acts of violence against our people or influencing young people to commit those acts, we will not hesitate to take action against groups like these to keep our country safe.
Yeah.
I will give way, yeah.
Thank you for the Minister for giving way. And I agree with him that it clearly meets the threshold very significantly. But I'm bound to ask the question, when did the actions of MMC first come to the attention of the government? And why Has it left it so long to bring forward this proposal, and why is it simply left it until the point when it's politically convenient to bring it forward?
I'm sorry that the Honourable Member has chosen to make that final point. There is no political convenience in what we are seeking to do today. What we are seeking to do today is ensure the security of our country. And if he's just a little bit patient, let me further make that case to him and to the House. Madam Deputy Speaker, let me turn now to Palestine Action. The public attention it has garnered should not be confused with legitimacy, and nor should a group formed 5 years ago be conflated with the legitimate campaign for Palestinian rights and statehood, which has existed in our country and in this House for more than five decades. Madam Deputy Speaker, let me be clear. The prescription of Palestine Action does not seek to ban protest that supports Palestine. There are many ways in which people can continue to lawfully express their support for Palestine without being a member or a supporter of Palestine Action.
I will give way, yes.
I thank the Minister for giving way. The Minister will be aware that the High Court has granted Palestine Action permission for a legal challenge. Rather than the Home Secretary, who is not here today, rushing it through Parliament, shouldn't this be delayed until the judicial process has concluded?
Well, I can say to the Honourable Member, we're certainly not seeking to rush it through Parliament. These are matters that the Home Secretary and I have considered for some time. With regard to the point that she made about legal challenge, there is a clear route to legal challenge. Should an organisation be proscribed, it has the opportunity to pursue a legal route of challenge. That is entirely within the right of any organisation who are proscribed to do so, and that is a matter for them. Madam Deputy Speaker, let me make this point because I think it's an important one. Freedom of expression and assembly are cornerstones of our democracy. They are fundamental rights, and this government will always respect and protect them. We will always defend the right of the British people to engage in legitimate and peaceful protest and to stand up for the causes in which they believe. I will give way, yes.
I thank my honourable friend for giving it away. Madam Deputy Speaker, I often show visitors the statue of Lord Falkland and the missing spur removed when a suffragette chained themselves to it. And I was here when protesters superglued their buttocks to the glass panel there, causing quite some scandal and damage. My point is, will the Minister confirm that criminal damage, no matter how creatively or indeed scandalously undertaken, will always be treated under criminal law and is not treated as terrorist acts?
Well, I am grateful to her for her intervention, and I know that she's given this matter very serious consideration. And it's an interesting point that she makes. And I will seek, as I progress, to evidence to her and to others why we've taken to choose this particular course of action with this particular group. And I hope when I've made my speech that she will understand the reasons why we are proceeding in the way that we are. Madam Deputy Speaker, I was just making the point about the importance of the right to protest. But essential as these rights are, they do not provide a blank cheque for this particular group to seriously damage property or subject members of the public to fear and violence. I will give way.
Diane Abbott. On the question of Palestine Action, the Minister will be aware that very many of us in this chamber think that Palestine Action is in a different category from the other two organisations he's seeking to proscribe. And can I ask him, is he aware that several UN special rapporteurs, including those protecting human rights, say that they have contacted the UK government to say that acts of protest that damage property but are not intended to kill or injure people should not be treated as terrorists?
Well, I am grateful to the Mother of the House because I think she makes an important point. Before I respond to it, let me just say very politely and very gently, I hope, to her and to others, if the actions of the particular group that we are considering at the moment had been conducted by an organisation who held different ideological motives, my strong sense is that she and some of her colleagues would be strongly recommending that the government moved to prescribe them. I have to say that is, I'm afraid, the conclusion that I've arrived at. Now, she specifically mentioned the point about the United Nations. We did, as a government, receive a letter from the UN Special Procedures Mandate holders. This was at the end of 2024, and the UK government provided a full response to this, which has been published. But I would just sort of gently say to her that ultimately, matters relating to our national security and ensuring that we keep the public safe are very much matters for this country, and not for other organisations. I'll give way to the Honourable Gentleman.
Minister, can I just put on record that this heavy-handed approach threatens basic freedoms and sets a dangerous precedent for all political dissent in the UK? Does he acknowledge that?
Minister.
I don't acknowledge that, and I don't accept his characterisation of the decision that we have taken. And if you'll just listen to what I have to say in a moment, I hope that he will understand why we're progressing in the way that we are. Madam Deputy Speaker, the attack at Brize Norton on the 20th of June has, quite understandably, provoked shock and anger in this House and across the country. But the reality is that this was just the latest episode in Palestine Action's long history of harmful activity. Palestine Action has orchestrated a nationwide campaign of property damage, featuring attacks that have resulted in serious damage to property and crossed the threshold from direct criminal action into terrorism. And I hope that goes some way to responding to the point that my honourable friend made just a moment ago. Palestine Action members have used violence against people responding at the scene of attacks. For their roles in coordinated attacks, members of the organisation have been charged with serious offences, including violent disorder, grievous bodily harm with intent, and aggravated burglary, which is an offence involving a weapon.
I thank the Minister for giving way, and I thank him for some of the things that he's been saying. I just wanted to kind of pick up on the fact that all that he's spoken about there could be dealt with under criminal law. And the other thing was, when my honourable friend mentioned about the suffragettes, I think we need to put into context a little bit of history here, that when the suffragettes carried out a campaign of window smashing, poster paint defacement, cutting telegraph and railway lines, targeted bombing and arson, specifically avoiding harming people, I think we have to understand that there is a long history in this country of direct action which pushes the boundaries of our democracy. It's very difficult for all of us, but actually they are still direct action. It's not criminal, or sorry, terrorist action.
So I acknowledge his point about the history, and I think that that is entirely reasonable context for him and others to raise. But ultimately, this government has to respond to events that are taking place in the here and now. And this government has to take sometimes difficult decisions about what measures are required in order to keep the public safe. And he's absolutely within his rights to seek to make comparisons about other groups. But as I will explain in just a moment, fundamentally, the Home Secretary has to take a view about whether a legal threshold has been crossed. And if it is, she has to make a judgment about whether she's wishing to proceed. I'm going to have to make a bit of progress because I still have some way to go. I'm going to make some progress. So despite some of the rhetoric to the contrary, the group's own materials have stated that the organisation is not non-violent, which is echoed in the actions of its members who have committed atrocious attacks. Having carefully considered all the evidence, the Home Secretary has concluded that Palestine Action is concerned in terrorism and should be proscribed. Now, the House will understand that I am unable to comment on specific intelligence or go into details about incidents that are sub judice. However, I can provide a summary of the group's activities and it is right that I make that position clear to the House. Since its inception in 2020, Palestine Action has orchestrated and enacted a campaign of direct criminal action against businesses and institutions, including key national infrastructure and defence firms that provide services and supplies to support Ukraine, NATO, our Five Eyes allies, and the UK defence industry. Over time, and most notably since the start of 2024, Palestine Action's activity has increased in frequency and severity. Its targets have broadened to include financial firms, charities, universities and government buildings. Its methods have become more aggressive, with its members demonstrating a willingness to use violence. I will give way, but I then do need to make some progress.
I'm grateful to the Minister for giving way, because he's spoken about the history of some of this, and there is more recent history. The last government brought in the Public Order Act in order to deal with Extinction Rebellion. At that point, the Home Secretary, when she was on the shadow front bench, listed all the various crimes that could be dealt with. And she said then, the government are extending powers that we would normally make available just for serious violence and terrorism to peaceful protest. Police officers themselves have said that this is a serious restriction on a person's rights to protest and in reality is unworkable. She was right then, wasn't she? And she's wrong today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to make a bit of progress because I hope to answer some of the points that I'm about to explain to him specific incidences that have informed the decision that have happened recently. So I understand why he may not necessarily want to listen to that, but I would invite him to do so because it is very important context. I'm going to make some progress now. So some of Palestine Action's own material state: we are not non-violent and we have specific targets. The group has a footprint in all 45 policing regions in the UK and has pledged to escalate its campaign. Madam Deputy Speaker, this disgraceful pattern of activity cannot be allowed to continue. Now, in applying the legislative framework, the government assesses that Palestine Action commits acts of terrorism. In several attacks, Palestine Action has committed acts of serious damage to property with the aim of progressing its political cause. I'm not going to give way because I need to get these important points down on the record. With the aim of progressing its political cause and intimidating and influencing the public and the government. These include attacks at Talis in Glasgow 2022 and last year at Insto Precision in Kent and Elbit Systems UK in Bristol. In such attacks, Palestine Action members have forced entry onto premises armed with a variety of weapons and damaged or demolished property, causing millions of pounds worth of criminal damage. As the House has heard, Palestine Action members have used violence against people responding at the scene. Now, during Palestine Action's attack against the Talis Defence Factory in Glasgow in 2022, the group caused over £1 million worth of damage, including parts that are essential to our submarines. Palestine Action caused panic amongst staff who feared for their safety as pyrotechnics and smoke bombs were thrown in the area where they were evacuating. The sheriff, when passing custodial sentences for the perpetrators, said, and I quote, "Throwing pyrotechnics into areas where people are being evacuated could hardly be described as being non-violent." The government also assess that Palestine Action prepares for terrorism. The organisation has provided practical advice to assist its members with conducting significant levels of property damage at targets right across the UK. For example, Palestine Action released an underground manual which encourages its members to create small groups or cells and provides guidance about how to conduct activity against private companies and government buildings. It explains how to operate covertly to evade arrest and provides a link to a website also created by Palestine Action, which contains a map of target locations across the UK. And the government assesses that Palestine Action promotes and encourages terrorism. This includes the glorification of its attacks involving serious property damage on social media. Palestine Action's attacks are not victimless crimes. Employees have experienced physical violence, intimidation and harassment. They have been prevented from entering their place of work. We would not tolerate this activity from organisations motivated by Islamist or extreme right-wing ideology, and we cannot tolerate it from Palestine Action. Now, by implementing this measure, we will remove Palestine Action's veil of legitimacy, tackle its financial support, and degrade its efforts to recruit and radicalise people into committing terrorist activity in its name. But we must be under no illusion. Palestine Action is not a legitimate protest group. People engaged in lawful protest don't need weapons. People engaged in lawful protest do not throw smoke bombs and fire pyrotechnics around innocent members of the public. And people engaged in lawful protest do not cause millions of pounds of damage to national security infrastructure, including submarines and defence equipment for NATO. Prescribing Palestine Action will not impinge on people's right to protest. Those who wish lawfully to protest or express support for Palestine have always been able to and can continue to do so. Now, Madam Deputy Speaker, I am conscious of time, and that is why I want to turn very briefly to the Russian Imperial Movement, or RIM. RIM is a white supremacist, ethno-nationalist organisation that seeks to create a new Russian imperial state. The methods RIM used to try to achieve those aims threaten UK, Euro-Atlantic and wider international security and prosperity. RIM conducts combat activity via its paramilitary unit, the Russian Imperial Legion, and has actively fought alongside Russian forces and other pro-Russian right-wing extremist groups in the ongoing Russia-Ukraine conflict. In doing so, the government assesses that it has committed or participated in acts of terrorism. RIM also prepares for terrorism. It manages a paramilitary training programme known as Partisan, which increases the capabilities of attendees to conduct terrorist attacks. By prescribing RIM, the UK will reinforce our steadfast support of Ukraine in its resistance to Russian aggression and our commitment to counter future threats from extreme right-wing terrorism in the UK and Europe. Madam Deputy Speaker, almost 2 years ago, it was my task, on behalf of what was then His Majesty's opposition, to strongly support the action taken to prescribe the Wagner Group, an organisation which rightly stood condemned for its acts of indiscriminate violence and terror in Ukraine and elsewhere. And I hope that the whole House will be as united as it was on that occasion in endorsing the action today taken against the Russian Imperial Movement. Madam Deputy Speaker, to conclude, the first duty of government is to keep our country safe. When our collective security and our values are threatened, we will not hesitate to act. Today's prescriptions will send a clear and unambiguous message that this Parliament stands against terrorism, however and wherever it manifests itself. Only in applying the UK's counter-terrorism framework without bias can we maintain confidence in it. I therefore urge members to support these prescriptions, and I commend the order to the House. Yeah.
The question is as on the order paper. Before I call the Shadow Minister, colleagues will have noted that on the order paper, this debate is only 90 minutes long, has to conclude at 5:27, which means that backbenches will be on a speaking limit of 4 minutes to begin with, and only a few colleagues will get in as the debate has to conclude at 5:27. I call the Shadow Minister, Harriet Potts. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker, and I'm grateful to the Minister for his statement and for bringing this important and very necessary measure to the House. And I also thank him for the briefing I was provided with earlier today. And let us be very clear what these measures are and are not about. Do we support free speech? Yes. Do we support the right to protest? Yes. Do we support the freedom of expression? Yes. But, Madam Deputy Speaker, these very freedoms that make our democracy is exactly the freedoms that these groups are considering and putting at risk, and why this is needed today. The groups we are discussing, Palestine Action, Maniac's Murder Cult and Russian Imperial Movement, have nothing whatsoever to do with legitimate protest. They would not be facing prescription today if they were demonstrating peacefully, respectfully or legally. And so, as so many groups and organisations across the country do and must be continue to be able to do freely. These groups have chosen a different path entirely, and for that, this action is rightly being taken against them. Madam Deputy Speaker, we must be clear-eyed about the broader threat landscape we face.
Yes, of course.
anything. I appreciate the Shadow Minister for giving way, but does she agree with me that the only acceptable form of protest is polite protest? That's not protest, that's permission.
RAF planes on the ground.
The right to protest is a hugely important part of our democracy. We support the right to protest. We support the right to free speech. We do not support the right to criminal damage, to intimidation, to threats to the public. And that is exactly what these groups are doing, and that is why they're being proscribed quite rightly today.
Very good.
Madam Deputy Speaker, as I said, we must be clear-eyed about the broader threat landscape that we face. Terrorism remains one of the most serious threats to our national security. Whether it comes from international networks, from those radicalised online, from extremist groups operating on our soil, the threat is real, it is evolving, and it must demand our constant vigilance. Our security services work tirelessly, day and night, to keep us safe. They have disrupted countless plots that the public will never know about. But we cannot be complacent. The nature of terrorism has changed, from sophisticated networks to lone actors, with physical attacks against cyber networks from foreign battlefields to our own communities, and our response must evolve accordingly. We should reflect on what terrorism is, as defined by the Terrorism Act 2000. It is a use or threat of action designed to influence a government or intimidate the public or a section of the public, where the use of threat action is designed to advance political, religious, racial or ideological causes. The full list of actions are detailed in the Terrorism Act, but includes serious violence against a person, actions that endanger life, health and safety, and or action that seriously damages property. Proscription is not a step that is taken lightly, but it is a strong and necessary tool that previous, as well as now the current government, have taken and should use to protect the public and to ensure that our police and security services have fuller access to the resources they need to keep the public and our institutions and our way of life safe. No one can hear the steps that the Minister set out in the actions of Palestine Action, MMR and RAM, and consider these to be the actions of peaceful, legitimate protest groups.
Will this Shadow Minister give way at that point?
Yes.
I thank the Shadow Minister for giving way. Will she accept that there is a distinction in intent when you look at Palestine Action vis-à-vis the other two organisations? There is no intention with the Palestinian Authority to cause intentional injury to people. And for that, there is already criminal matters that can be dealt with at criminal courts.
I thank the member for that, but if you're using pyrotechnics against people who are escaping an attack by your organisation, that is an intent. If you're intending to damage RAF property and MOD property by sabotaging RAF jets at Bryce Norton, that is intent. So they are also showing intent, as well as these other organisations are. Madam Deputy Speaker, these groups do not share our values. They do not respect our country, they do not care about our way of life, and they show no regard for the safety of our citizens. We on our benches are proud that the actions have been taken by the previous Conservative governments to strengthen our counter-terrorism framework. We gave our police and security services the powers they need to confront the evolving threats, and we welcome and support the Home Secretary now making use of these same powers today. As the Minister said, prescription is a vital tool and a strong deterrent, but it is only part, yet a very important part, of what we need to do to keep our country safe. On its own, it is not enough. It must be followed with enforcement, and we will, of course, be watching closely to ensure that the police have the resources and backing they need from the Labour government to ensure that they can do just that. Madam Deputy Speaker, as both the Minister and I have said, the first job of any government is to keep their citizens safe, and we as the official opposition will always support the government in that aim. The activities of these organisations have clearly met a threshold for prescription under the Terrorism Act. So, to conclude, we on this side of the House are very happy to support the government in their aims today.
Yeah.
Richard Berger. Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I want to speak specifically about Palestine Action. I think it's most regrettable that the government has brought one order banning three organisations when it knows that there is a political disagreement on this. This is no way to bring terror legislation. I want to be clear and to put on the record that I would be supporting this order today if it only referred to the organisations Maniacs, Murder Cult and the Russian Imperial Movement. Leading legal and human rights organisations, Amnesty International and Liberty, have condemned the potential prescription of Palestine Action. Liberty has said that targeting a protest group with terrorism powers is a shocking escalation of the government's crackdown on protest. This move would be a huge step change in how counter-terror laws are applied. Amnesty International UK has said that we're deeply concerned at the use of counter-terrorism powers to target protest groups. They certainly shouldn't be used to ban them. They have both urged the Home Secretary to rethink before bringing this to Parliament. Yesterday, several United Nations special rapporteurs, including those for protecting human rights while countering terrorism and for promoting freedom of expression, said they had contacted the UK government to say that acts of protest that damage property but are not intended to kill or injure people should not be treated as terrorism. Likewise, former Labour Justice Minister Lord Charlie Faulkner has stated that the sort of demonstration seen at military base Palestine Action would not justify prescription as a terrorist organisation. Today, however, we are not voting on whether people agree with Palestine Action's tactics. We are not voting on whether people think their aim is right or wrong. We are voting on whether the actions they have taken against property, not against people, should lead to them being treated as terrorists, when what they have done can be prosecuted under criminal damage, and indeed there's a long history of protest activity, including acts of trespass, criminal damage, sabotage and more. Indeed, the Home Secretary's recent statements on this repeatedly refers to criminal damage and the live court cases showing that there is already legal provision to deal with Palestine Action. There are a variety of potential consequences if this prescription against Palestine Action is passed today. Supporting or joining Palestine Action could carry up to 14 years in prison. It risks criminalising thousands of volunteers and supporters. Thousands have supported or volunteered with Palestine Action, including students, nurses, retirees and professionals. Many have never engaged in direct action, but risk being criminalised. Today I met with Amnesty International and they offered a number of frightening examples of how this could be used to place our constituents at risk of prosecution under Section 12 of the Terrorism Act and could face a maximum sentence of 14 years if Palestine Action are prescribed. Amnesty International's examples. A person who tweets, "I oppose the war crimes in Gaza and I do think Palestine Action have a point," could easily fall foul of this provision. A person who says to another person, "I don't support all the methods of Palestine Action, but I really do think protest is important and I respect the personal sacrifices Palestine Action are willing to make, risking arrest to challenge war crimes." An individual with a placard that reads, "Palestine Action are peaceful, they should be de-prescribed." This could affect our constituents who have never been a member of Palestine Action, who have never committed direct action, who would never commit direct action, and speeches they make or comments they make in community meetings could be trawled, and these people could end up facing legal proceedings resulting in a prison sentence of up to 14 years. That concerns us all. People out there view terrorism as meaning heinous acts such as shooting people, blowing people up, assassinating people, and acts of violence. I would urge colleagues to consider the consequences to their constituents of prescribing Palestine Action alongside these other groups.
I call the Liberal Democrat spokesperson, Lisa Smart.
Thank you very much, Madam Deputy Speaker, and I'm also very grateful to the Minister for his time discussing this issue with me. As has already been mentioned, there are three organisations listed today, and the order before us is unamendable. Taking each of the three organisations in turn, the Russian Imperial Movement is an ultranationalist and white supremacist militant organisation operating from inside Russia. The group has already been prescribed by both the United States and Canada, and even the Russian government itself has blacklisted many of the group's publications and activities. The rationale and justification for prescription is clear, and we are content to support it. The maniac murder cult is similarly destructive, driven by a belief that society must be violently destabilised so that a new neo-Nazi or white supremacist order can rise from its ashes. They promote random acts of violence, including murder, assaults and bombings, as a deliberate tactic to instil fear and chaos. The rationale and justification for prescription is clear, and we are content to support it. But the questions for many today relate to Palestine Action. On the 20th of June, as has been widely reported in the press, two members of Palestine Action gained unauthorised access to RAF Bryce Norton, the UK's largest airbase in Oxfordshire, circumventing perimeter security under cover of darkness. Once inside, they targeted two aircraft. Incidents involving members of Palestine Action also include attacks at sites operated by Elbit Systems in Bristol in 2024 and again this year, as well as at Thales UK facility in Glasgow in 2022. And I note the Minister's comments about cases currently going through the courts. No matter how strongly any of us feel about the appalling humanitarian crisis in Gaza, and many of us across this House and across this country feel very strongly indeed, this does not justify attacks on military bases in Britain. Yeah. Those responsible must face the full force of the law. There is no doubt about that. But that's already the law, and that's not what is in front of MPs today. The question here is not about whether the people were committing crimes or not, but whether someone who even expresses support for them should face up to 14 years in jail. The bar for which groups should be prescribed as terrorist organisations is rightly set very high. Transparency around why these decisions are made is crucial for maintaining the public's trust in our counter-terrorism framework. So I've been listening carefully, both to experts raising their concerns, including from the UN, as mentioned previously by the Mother of the House, but also what the Minister has said and the Home Secretary's words about her reasons for making this decision based on damage to property, notwithstanding the Minister's comments about the use of violence. Prescribing an organisation solely on the grounds of serious damage to property would be, I believe, unprecedented. Yes. To date, and I'd welcome the Minister correcting me if I've got this wrong, no organisation has been prescribed in the UK exclusively for property damage, as was in the Home Secretary's words on the government website. While there may be compelling legal arguments that the actions of Palestine Action have met the legal definition of terrorism in terms of criminal damage, serious criminal damage, the decision to prescribe is ultimately up to the Home Secretary's discretion. There are still questions as to whether that discretion is proportionate in this case, given the level of threat. I remain to be convinced. Currently, the maximum custodial term for certain offences relating to membership or expressing support for a proscribed terrorist organisation is 14 years. Yet, in instances such as this, where actions, though criminal and damaging, may not pose the same imminent threat to life, a blanket application of such severe penalties risks being disproportionate. The Home Secretary rightly has substantial powers to take action to keep our country safe. But it is also right and entirely proper that we scrutinise the use of these powers and press the government to ensure any use of them is wholly proportionate.
Yeah. Russell Turner. Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. 21 years ago, a human rights barrister stood in court and defended an activist who broke into RAF Fairford trying to disable a bomber to prevent war crimes in Iraq. That case became a landmark in lawful, non-violent direct action against an illegal war. That barrister is now our Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, KC. He argued that it was not terrorism, but conscience. Fast forward to 20th of June 2025. Two Palestine Action activists enter RAF Bryce Norton and sprayed red paint, not fire, on aircraft linked to surveillance flights over Gaza. Instead of prosecuting them for criminal damage, which is what normally is done, the Home Secretary is using the Terrorism Act to prescribe them as a terrorist group. Madam Deputy Speaker, this is an unprecedented and dangerous overreach of the state. Never before in Britain has it been a crime to simply support a group. This order lumps a non-violent network of students, nurses, teachers, firefighters and peace campaigners, ordinary people, my constituents and yours, with neo-Nazi militias and mass casualty cults. Palestine Action's real crime, we have to be clear, is shutting down Elbit system sites that arm the Israeli military. Its true offence has been audacious enough to expose the blood-soaked ties between this government and the genocidal Israeli apartheid state and its war machine. So let us be clear, to equate a spray can of paint with a suicide bomb isn't just absurd, it is grotesque. It is a deliberate distortion of the law to chill dissent, criminalise solidarity and suppress the truth. Amnesty International, Liberty, over 266 senior lawyers, UN special rapporteurs have all opposed these draconian measures. Even at this late stage, the order should be withdrawn. Under this order, anyone expressing moral support for a proscribed group could face 14 years in prison. That includes wearing a badge, wearing a T-shirt, sharing a post or calling for proscription, and journalists have no exemption too. There is no legal protection for reporting favourably, even factually, about Palestine Action, and by this weekend, millions of people, including many of our constituents, could be placed under these sweeping restrictions. And let us not forget what is actually happening in Gaza, where the real crimes are being ignored. Hospitals bombed, children starved, tens of thousands of people killed. Palestinian children now suffer more amputations per capita than anywhere else on earth. Israel on trial for genocide at the ICJ. Israeli Prime Minister with an ICC arrest warrant. And the government's response to criminalise solidarity, to continue exporting lethal F-35 jets that are decimating Gaza. And we have to also understand the history of this country and what built our democracy, the tradition of civil disobedience, from suffragettes without whom I wouldn't have the vote, let alone the privilege of being here as an MP. Even those who oppose Palestine Action's tactics must recognise the vast gulf between criminal damage and terrorism. If this order passes, what's next? Climate protesters, striking workers, feminists in the street? Already we've seen a wider crackdown on our civil liberties. Musicians censored, journalists arrested, demonstrators, including MPs sitting here, harassed. And now this government wants to use anti-terror laws to make peaceful protest itself a crime. If our democratic institutions functioned as they should, none of this would be necessary. So to conclude, if this prescription passes, as it will, we have to understand that no campaign will be safe tomorrow. We also have to recognise that this will go down as a dark day in our country's history and one that will be remembered. People will ask, which side were you on? And I stand with the millions of people that oppose genocide because I am one of them. I oppose the blood-soaked hands of this government trying to silence us. So I say this loudly and proudly on Wednesday the 2nd of July, 2025. We are all Palestine.
Order!
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
Madam Deputy Speaker, whilst listening to this, and I, in a way, I do have concerns about the last of the three organisations, just generally about the application of the criminal law, and there may be another way, but I support the government's position on that, as it does. But then it cast into light, while I had listened to this, the organisation that sits there, that we have taken no action in terms of prescribing, is the IRGC. And in the debates about all the elements that are going on in here, this sits like the elephant in the room. Why are we not prescribing the IRGC? Why have we resisted doing that? Now, that would have a huge impact on terrorism or aspects of terrorism at all. I mean, if you look at it very carefully, they export deliberately the Islamic Revolution. They use proxies. That's right. They've been sponsoring terrorism, as demonstrated without dispute all over the world. They support Hamas and Hezbollah and have been hugely supplying them with weapons, and whether we, on which side of the argument or whatever one lies, the fact is there wouldn't have been this issue and this terrible killing going on there had that not been the case at the time. So they're very heavily involved in that. They're sanctioned, but they're not prescribed, and sanctioning doesn't give you enough powers to deal with their proxies and those that work for them. And it is in fact the present government that in opposition campaigned to prescribe them. I remember quite happily working with various members of the opposition front bench at the time to ensure that they were prescribed. And they say, and the Foreign Office says this endlessly, that, oh, well, we'd lose all the possibility to make diplomatic relations and to get through to Iran. Well, you know, how's that going? How's that gone over the last year? It's not at all. You can't really reason with these characters. And it's interesting because the global terrorist attacks have a huge number of them rooted in IRGC money and training, higher levels of activity in the UK, and it's the propaganda in the UK trying to build arrangements within the UK in plain view at times, even on links like Face and Time and all the rest of it, where they can actually be tracked, but they do it openly because nothing can be done to them at all. And, of course, they support Hezbollah, who is also proscribed. So you keep running this chain around and around, you come back to the IRGC. I would think that today should be the debate. That should be the decision. That should be here on the floor of the House. The IRGC should be prescribed because they are at the root of all terrorism that exists here and in the Middle East. And I think if we don't do that, then it begs the question, what are we doing here with the other three organisations?
Clive Lewis.
Caught me off guard there. Can I firstly associate myself with the comments of the front bench for Lib Dems? I thought they made some very, very good comments, and I'd like to associate myself with them. Secondly, I agree with the prescription of the two far-right fascist organisations, and I think they should be prescribed. But can we as a House accept that are those of us here today who have a different take on today's prescription for Palestine action? We don't have to agree with the behaviour or actions of Palestine Action to make the case here today that this prescription is wrong. I'd also like to ask the honourable members to acknowledge the fact that many of us here today who take a different view on this issue are a part of this democracy just as much as those who agree with the prescription. It's just that our take on the delicacy of our democracy and what this prescription does and how it undermines our democracy, in our opinion, happen to differ from other people. I know members on the opposite benches have repeatedly said that when it comes to ULEZ cameras and low emission zone cameras, they've actually said that they understand and empathise with those constituents who have smashed and vandalised them. So direct action is something that's not just of the left, it's something that everyone in our democracy can partake in. So this is a judgment call on how we best protect our democracy, and an acknowledgement that not all threats are external or violent. Some threats are based on the decisions that we here ourselves take in this place. Sometimes we may take decisions which fundamentally undermine our own democracy. Now, I have no doubt that some of us will be called terrorist sympathisers by some who disagree with our position. But that would be wrong. When you look around the world and watch as democracy and the rule of law is being systematically smashed, corporations, the wealthy, have increasing power and wealth to influence our democracy. Look over at the Atlantic, at the United States. Our democracies are delicate. Our democracies are precious. And the decisions that we take here determine whether those democracies will survive as we go into the future. I look around the world. I look around this country. I look at the party, the authoritarian right party that is 10 points ahead in the polls. And I worry about the future of our democracy. And that means that this government, our government, has to make decisions that take that into account. That take into account that we may not be in government one day. It may be the authoritarian right. And they will take this further and faster and deeper than we ever have. So we should be putting in fire guards now, protecting our democracy. This doesn't do that. And I will conclude by saying, Madam Deputy Speaker, I understand what terrorism is. I was in London on the 7th of July in 2007, and I watched my community, this city, attacked by real terrorists. And at that point, rightly or wrongly, I decided I was going to Afghanistan to fight the terrorists. And I went because I love this country and I love our democracy and I want to see it protected. I think today's prescription order against Palestine Action undermines that. And I wish my government wouldn't do it. Thank you very much.
Pete Wishart.
Deputy Speaker, as we've heard, the issues around the prescription of Palestine Action has thrown up a number of legitimate concerns, and there's no doubt it will have an impact on our right to protest or on civil liberties that we have enjoyed for decades. And where it's absolutely and utterly right to condemn and prosecute criminal activity, especially those that threaten our national security, surely this must be done within the framework of existing legislation as it always has been. And this order looks nothing other than a direct response to Palestine Action being able to infiltrate an RAF base and causing damage to a defence aircraft. The decision to proscribe an organisation is ultimately a matter for the government, and it's up to the Home Secretary to decide who goes onto that list. It's based on intelligence that the government holds. But I don't think the Minister has convinced many of us today that this has met the thresholds for this prescription, and we need to hear more about their concerns about this particular group. But before reaching for that power, the government must take into account whether it is proportionate, justified and in the national interest to prescribe such an organisation. Terrorism legislation, as we know, hands extremely broad powers to the state, and as such it must always be treated with the highest degree of caution and restraint. Now, we live in a society where groups and organisations have the democratic right to campaign and express their views on particular issues in a democratic, respectful and lawful manner. It is important that the right to lawful protest is not affected by the Home Secretary's decision today, and it's extremely concerning that this decision could lead to these powers being extended to other campaigning organisations. And it's inexplicable that Palestine Action has been linked to groups such as the Maniacs Murder Cult and the Russian Imperial Movement, groups unknown to this House until this order was on the order paper today, but groups that, with a cursory glance at their activities, could of course be proscribed. For Palestine Action to be included alongside these groups is at best a cynical and calculated move by the government in order to ensure that this order gets through today. People all over the UK, including many of my constituents, rightly feel very strongly about the appalling crimes being committed against innocent civilians in Gaza on a daily basis. Many of these people have been taking part in weekly protests to make their voices heard, to show solidarity with the Palestinian people. These people are now concerned that they might be caught up in this prescription. And I'm also concerned that many young people who are sharing social media posts for Palestine Actions could now be considered as glorifying what will soon be a proscribed group. We need clarity on what actions would result in people being charged under this terrorism legislation. For example, does wearing a Palestine Action badge handed out at a demonstration or a rally mean that they could be charged with terrorism? Organisations, as we've heard, like Amnesty International and even the United Nations have expressed their concern about this prescription regarding the UK's broad definition of terrorism. This week, Madam Deputy Speaker, an Israeli strike in Gaza seafront cafe killed at least 20 Palestinians. This is what we should be discussing today and every day until a permanent ceasefire is reached and all the hostages are released. The government must act in the national interest. That is what they've got to do. And they've got to keep us safe from all of these different challenges that's presented to them. But we need clear reassurance about the wider impact of what is being proposed today.
John Pearce.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I welcome the Home Secretary's decisive action on Palestine Action, Maniacs Murder Cult and the Russian Imperial Movement today. 20 months on from the horrific terror attacks of the 7th of October, the suffering of innocent people in Gaza, in Israel and beyond has rightly been the subject of much international campaigning. Money has been raised to support charities getting aid into Gaza. The Hostages and Missing Families Forum has worked tirelessly to keep the plight of the 50 remaining hostages on the world's agenda. And hundreds of thousands of people have contacted their MPs, signed petitions and made their voices heard. This is all genuine activism, importantly, within the bounds of the law. Palestine Action is something different. Over 5 years, it has conducted a campaign of violence, intimidation and criminal damage. In one attack on a business in Bristol, two police officers were attacked with a sledgehammer. The officers also then found not only sledgehammers, but whips, axes and other homemade weapons. Palestine Action have attacked a business in my constituency in High Peak, intimidating the workers there. Last month, at RAF Bryce Norton, military planes were vandalised and £30 million of damage done. Such attacks undermine our national security, our armed forces, and can never be justified. I applaud the Home Secretary for responding in the strongest possible terms. But Palestine Action also has a track record of attacks against this country's Jewish community. In May this year, a building housing Jewish-owned businesses in North Manchester was vandalised with red paint and graffiti reading Happy Nakba Day. Later that month, a Jewish-owned business in Stamford Hill was attacked by the organisation with windows broken, red paint graffiti and damage done to the building's mezuzah. In the latter case, Palestine Action's claims that the business was linked to the Israel Defence Companies proved baseless. This campaign of anti-Semitic harassment reveals the logical conclusion of their extremism. And the important difference between all of the other groups that has been mentioned in this House is that this group targets a specific group within our country of a specific ethnic and religious minority. This extremism does not help. A single Palestinian smashing windows will not free Palestine. It undermines the hard work of so many people who support the Palestinian cause and towards a peaceful future. And it leads to an environment where British Jews feel unsafe and harassed, something that should never be tolerated. Legitimate protest is a fundamental democratic freedom, but Palestinian Action abandoned that legitimate action a long time ago. I welcome the government's swift action today in ensuring that this organisation can no longer pose a threat to our security, to our businesses and to the Jewish community.
Yeah. Jeremy Corbyn.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. As the debate opened today, I intervened on the Minister and I'm grateful to him for giving way. I just need an explanation, and I hope we'll get one, as to why groups are always put together in these orders and not dealt with separately and individually, because clearly there are different orders of concern here. Yeah. And I want solely to speak about the issue surrounding Palestine Action. We live in a democratic society, and we have to also understand where our rights have come from. The member who's just spoken from High Peak represents the place where, in 1932, the mass trespass took place, led by Benny Rothman, a Jewish activist in the Communist Party at that time, who was demanding rights of access to the countryside. He was roundly condemned by all of the mass media and the government of the day. He was put on trial, he was put in prison, and he was eventually released from prison after mass protests in his support. Without Benny Rothman and those others, that access to the countryside simply would not have happened at that time. And you look at all the other people that over decades of our history have stood up for free speech and for democracy, going back to the Chartists, going back to the suffragettes, those that campaigned to end apartheid in South Africa. And interestingly, during all of the anti-apartheid years, the British government, whilst it did condemn the ANC and did indeed believe for a while that Nelson Mandela was a terrorist, never banned the ANC in Britain, because the advice they got was it was important that there be a place that people could express that voice of hope of the end of apartheid. The women that went to Greenham Common to protest about the deployment of nuclear weapons there were also never labelled as terrorists. Yes, they were charged under criminal trespass, as indeed many, many others have been, and indeed those that undertake direct action are very well aware of the risks they take. But it crosses an enormous threshold to suddenly announce that Palestine Action, speaking out against the horrors of what is happening in Gaza, where hundreds are mown down every day by the Israeli Defence Force simply for queuing for food when they're desperately hungry and their children are starving. Surely we should be looking at the issue that Palestine Action are concerned about and the supply of weapons from this country to Israel, which has made all this possible. If this order goes through today, it will have a chilling effect on protests. And I quote a letter that was sent to the Home Secretary on the 28th of June. Direct action is a long-standing and respected part of British political history, from the suffragettes chaining themselves to railings, to striking miners, to anti-apartheid campaigners, occupying institutions and disrupting trade, civil disobedience and direct action that have always been a necessary forces for progress and justice. And that letter comes from, I won't give away now, that letter comes from Bibi Khan, the chair of North London Council of Mosques, and Mohammed Ad-Din from the New Muslim Forum on behalf of the London Councils of Mosques, who are concerned about the chilling effect that this piece of legislation, if agreed today, will have on the rights to protest as a whole. The last point I'd make, and I hope the Minister, if he gets a chance, will be able to reply on this, legal action is being taken. There is a case coming up in the High Court this Friday, a judicial review of this case. Can we have it be clear, this will not be put into force until all legal avenues have been exhausted, and there won't be some temporary imposition of this later to be withdrawn if there is successful legal action. I think we need to know that all democratic avenues have been fully explored in this process.
Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. Today's push to prescribe Palestine Action, a non-violent direct action group, as a terrorist organisation, is a disastrous turning point of historic proportions. It risks undermining existing prosecution cases against activities by Palestine Action and activists, and is legally dubious. Human and civil rights organisations, lawyers and UN experts have all spoken out against the misuse of terrorism laws, calling this move unjustified and a warning of a chilling effect on a protest and advocacy generally, especially in relation to the defence of human rights and international law in Palestine. We have already seen the chilling effect on protest. Palestine Solidarity Campaign have been prevented from protesting outside Parliament this evening, and police have placed restrictions on the demo and pushed it further down Whitehall. For hundreds of years, protests outside Parliament have gone ahead, limiting dissent in this way should concern us all. And we've seen that in the last couple of weeks in terms of the assistant dying bill, abortion and the anti-welfare cuts. The question members of this House must ask ourselves today is whether a non-violent political group should ever be designated as a terror threat. If Palestine Action is prescribed this week by the weekend, no, not giving way, anyway, wearing Brandon T-shirts, a bag could face terrorism charge. Amnesty International have flagged that Palestine Action is prescribed this week, even meeting with their lawyers to discuss intervening in judicial review proceedings could see them fall foul of counter-terrorism legislation. These are all examples of potential grounds for prosecution under counter-terrorism laws if Palestine Action is prescribed, which could come from constituents who are not members of the organisation and never engaged in direct action. The scope, what we're talking about, is insanely broad. Is the government really going to demand that we vote to criminalise our constituents in this way? Prescribing Palestine Action today would set a dangerous precedent for the future government misuse of counter-terror laws. It would be the first group prescribed mainly for serious damage to property and the first prescribed direct action group. Prescription is neither necessary nor proportionate. We already have sufficient criminal legislation that always dealt with where necessary, and the Home Secretary has provided no impact assessment and, quote, no or no significant impact on the private, voluntary or public sectors foreseen. But we have received no reassurances around how the proportionality test has been applied or whether unintended impact on the wider pro-Palestine movement were considered by the Home Office and Prescription Review Group. Indeed, we have heard from civil rights groups that there have been allegedly meetings with representatives from the Israeli government and arms companies such as Elbit, but none with human rights groups. Whether members of this House debating and voting on this SI today agree with the methods of the arms of Palestine Action, we should all be able to agree that lumping Palestine Action together with the other two obscure groups to ensure that it is prescribed is a disgraceful manipulation of parliamentary procedure. Search and Hansard, neither of the two groups have been mentioned. They are so obscure. This manoeuvre is nakedly transparent and shows that the government knows just how shaky prescription is. Today, they come for Palestine Action. If this passes today, who and what will be next? And I look forward to the Minister answering our concerns raised in this debate today, particularly about particularly regarding grouping those two organisations together. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Ellie Chowns.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. Let me start by putting on record that I know at least two people who have previously participated in Palestine Action protests. But that's not why I'm speaking today. This is about fundamental principles. Madam Deputy Speaker, this is a chilling moment for British democracy. Let's be clear about what is happening here. A political protest group is being silenced. And isn't it hugely ironic that this is being done today when this morning hundreds of women MPs, including the Home Secretary herself, celebrated in Westminster Hall the 97th anniversary of Equal Votes for Women, a victory won by the suffragettes, themselves a direct action protest group. I have three key points I would like to make today. First, it's a clear overreach to conflate direct action with terrorism. Second, this will have a chilling effect on the democratic rights to free speech and protest. And third, it is utterly cynical of the government to wrap up proscription of Palestine action with proscription of two other clearly terrorist groups. The Terrorism Act 2000 makes it clear that strict proportionality and necessity tests must be met before prescribing any group. But this decision on Palestine action is not necessary or proportionate. As Amnesty International and others have made clear, there is ample criminal law capable of responding to a direct action protest network like Palestine Action. They may have engaged in criminal damage, their supporters may break into airbases, they may have been charged with offences like violent disorder and aggravated burglary. They may have carried out actions that I absolutely do not condone. Indeed, I condemn physical attacks against properties in Stamford Hill that understandably may have stirred up genuine fear. And personally, I find the words spoken by one of their co-founders at a rally in the aftermath of the October 7th Hamas attacks absolutely horrific, but that does not make Palestine action terrorist. That bar is and should be extremely high. It is commonly understood internationally to involve the use or threat against violence against civilians to instill fear, whereas the stated aim of Palestine action is to prevent war crimes, to prevent crime against humanity, to prevent genocide. And it's not just the members and supporters of Palestine action who are being silenced. By association, this proscription represents a grave risk to the free speech and protest rights of millions of members of the public who are rightly concerned that a genocide is happening in Gaza on this government's watch. Millions of people in this country are active, whether online or in their communities, in campaigning to end the UK's complicity in that genocide. And there's a clear risk that proscribing Palestine action could criminalise people, for example, for sharing a social media post with potential imprisonment of up to 14 years. This interferes with the fundamental rights of members of the public to protest the government's policies and is clearly disproportionate when compared with the actions of the group. I am also deeply concerned by the Home Office's utterly cynical decision to wrap up the proscription of Palestine action with two other groups who undeniably do meet the terrorism test. This has clearly been done in order to make it extremely difficult for MPs to vote against the motion. I want it on record. I and my Green Party colleagues absolutely oppose the proscription of Palestine action, and we will oppose any similar attacks on the civil disobedience, which is such a proud part of UK history. And if you compare the charges against Palestine action with those of maniacs, murder cult and the Russian imperial movement, paramilitary training camps, guides on how to fatally attack somebody, supremacist neo-Nazis organising and support for Satanism, those are clearly terrorist acts, whereas proscribing Palestine action appears to be a purely political move unworthy of a democracy supposedly committed to human rights. No wonder there is significant opposition to this move across Parliament, including from the former Lord Chancellor and Justice Secretary Lord Falconer. And it is a massive distraction from the continuing horrors in Gaza. That's what Palestine Action want to bring to an end, as do many in this room.
Order! Nadia Whittone.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. Madam Deputy Speaker, I want to start by making clear to members that the order we're voting on is not about whether or not we are supportive of Palestine Action's political positions or protest methods. To vote against this motion, you do not have to agree with them at all, and you can still support holding them criminally liable for their actions, because the question is about whether they should be proscribed as a terrorist group, placed alongside the likes of Al-Qaeda, the Islamic State, and National Action. It's fitting, Madam Deputy Speaker, that this debate is taking place on the 97th anniversary of women winning the vote on equal terms with men, thanks in no small part to the suffragettes. The suffragettes carried out direct action far more extreme than anything those in Palestine Action have done. Yet today, their role in changing history for the better is commemorated. Whatever you think of their actions, Palestine Action are part of a similar tradition, with the target this time being to stop the genocide in Gaza. It is unprecedented for a government to ban a civil disobedience protest group in the way that it is attempting to do so today. But what's not unprecedented is protesters breaking into military bases. This has never before resulted in prescription. Prescribing Palestine Action would be a draconian overreach. It would threaten the fundamental right to peaceful protest. Yes. It would set a dangerous precedent that could be used in future to further silence dissent while diminishing what the Terrorism Act is meant to prevent.
I thank the Honourable Lady for giving way. As the MP for Newbury, we have Greenham Common, which now is very peaceful, but before had cruise missiles, and Greenham Common peace women actually broke into the base. They attacked jets with hammers, and they were prosecuted under criminal law. They were held to account, but I believe, do you agree with me, that potentially under this government, even Greenham peace women would have been considered a terrorist organisation?
I thank him for his intervention, and I agree entirely. Madam Deputy Speaker, UN experts are urging us not to do this. They state they are concerned at the unjustified labelling of a political protest movement as terrorist. Hundreds of lawyers have written to the Home Secretary warning that prescribing Palestine Action would conflate protest and terrorism. Amnesty International and Liberty have both expressed deep concerns. We've seen a senior civil servant briefing disquiet among Home Office staff about this decision, calling it absurd. It's important to remember that this prescription would not just affect members of Palestine Action, but anyone who supports them. Donating to a fundraiser or posting positively about the group on social media would mean committing a crime. We risk criminalising huge numbers of our own constituents. I regret that we're being denied the opportunity to vote separately on the prescription of Palestine Action and the other two organisations, which are neo-Nazi organisations and whose prescription I would wholeheartedly support. But grouping together these organisations that so clearly do not belong in the same category demonstrates again why we cannot allow this prescription to go ahead. I therefore have no choice but to vote against it today.
Julie Lewis.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker, and I must say I never thought the day would arise when I, as a non-lawyer, would be advising a government of lawyers that they need to be really sure of the legal basis for what they're doing. As I said in an intervention on this subject on the 23rd of June, it would do the country and the government no favours if they were to lose in court a challenge to the process of prescription. Because whereas the secret sabotage of planes would certainly have been an act of terrorism leading to prescription, the fact is that this was a performative act that these people announced they had done. So the question I want to put to the government is, are they going to at least adopt a belt and braces policy when it comes to the prosecution of the people who did that terribly irresponsible and wrong-headed act of sabotaging those planes? Will they prosecute them as well on the basis that they have done criminal damage, that they have done something which is to attack the forces of the Crown and which therefore borders on sedition? Because otherwise, I fear that by using the wrong aspects of the law to pursue some people who did some very bad things indeed, the government will end up actually scoring an own goal when these people walk free with a court triumph under their belt. I am not convinced that policy that the government has adopted on this matter, though justified in terms of the unacceptable behaviour of the perpetrators, is nevertheless going to stand up in court when there are plenty of other legal methods that could be used to deal with this form of extremism. And extremism it is, but it does not, in my opinion, pass the threshold to be classified in the legal sense as terrorism. Now, it may be the case that if I'd been able to accept the offer of the minister, which I understand he made to have a word with me on Privy Council terms before this debate, and I thank him for that offer, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to take it up, it may be that he would have been able to tell me things about this group that would have then convinced me that it crossed that threshold. But if he's not able to tell these things in public, and there may be very good reasons why he isn't, then I suspect he won't be able to tell it to the courts either. So I say to the government, nobody, I think, will accuse me of being soft on anti-militarist extremist groups, but I say to the government, with the best will in the world, make sure you adopt a legal belt and braces policy when it comes to prosecuting this group, and don't rely just on this prescription, because I fear I see trouble ahead from my learned friends.
Imran Hussain.
Madam Speaker, let me also place on record my full support for the prescription of Maniac's murder cult and the Russian Imperial Movement. These are vile, murderous, fascist cults. Their place on the prescribed list is justified and necessary. But it's precisely because we must take terrorism seriously that we must also draw clear lines. To put Palestine Action, a direct action protest group, in the same category as these murderous extremist organisations erodes the credibility of our legal framework and risks undermining civil rights. Prescription must be used judicially. Conflating protest with terror is a dangerous step that undermines the very freedoms our counter-terrorism laws are meant to protect. Now, where there is criminal activity, there is adequate legal provision within the criminal law to deal with that. What we are being asked to do is prescribe them under the Terrorism Act to treat civil dissent, whether or not we agree or disagree with that civil dissent, as extremism. That is a concerning shift, and we risk crossing a line. Hundreds of lawyers, including KCs and human rights advocates, have warned that this is not a hallmark of democracy. We've heard earlier today that United Nations special rapporteurs have expressed serious concern about this measure. What we haven't heard, actually, is the huge implication that this will have on some of our communities. The risk of being criminalised simply for showing support for Palestine. Under this prescription, people could face prosecution for something as simple as wearing a badge, sharing a post online, or attending a peaceful protest. Now, the question for this House is, do we really want to become a society where non-violently expressing solidarity or even speaking out could be interpreted as terrorism? This will only further fuel fear and repression. Local anti-racist groups could suddenly find themselves under suspicion. Communities, whole communities, could be cast as suspect, not for what they do, but for what they stand for. And there's numerous examples. I don't have the time today. My honourable friend, the member for Leeds East, has always eloquently set out a number of examples that should send shivers, frankly, down the backs of everybody's spine in this place. This is not the way forward. A non-violent protest, what our democracy is meant to protect, now risks being labelled as terror. The legal basis for this prescription is unsound. The democratic consequences are severe, and the moral cost is frankly unacceptable. Let me be clear, it will disproportionately target campaigners and minority communities, and it will set a precedent that reaches far beyond this one group. Today, it's Palestine Action. Tomorrow, it could be climate activists. We are standing on a slippery slope. Prescribing a protest group is not strength. Madam Deputy Speaker, I urge this House to defend our hard-won rights to civil liberties, because to conflate protest with terrorism is not democracy, and therefore I will not support, and I want to put that on the record, any prescription of Palestine Action.
Well said.
I could squeeze in one more speaker if they're tight. Shokat Adam.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I came to this country as a child. This country nurtured me, educated me, and embraced me. And I love this country for so many reasons. But there are two reasons I love this country for more than anything else, I suspect. One is its sense of fairness, and the second is its sense of ability to be free, to be able to express how you feel. democratically. That is why today I speak specifically about Palestine Action when I say that if we proscribe this organisation under the Terrorism Act, we will, for the first time in this nation's history, outlaw a domestic protest group as a terrorist organisation. Britain has a proud, though often hard-fought tradition of civil resistance. We remember the reverence of the suffragettes who are branded as criminals for smashing windows but are now celebrated as heroes of justice. Yeah. We remember the civil rights movement where protests occupied streets and broke unjust laws to dismantle segregation. And we remember the global campaign against apartheid. Ministers in this House, where people of conscience defied authorities, trespassed and disrupted in the name of ending a brutal system. The very freedom we hold dear today, votes for women, racial equality and the end of apartheid, were not born out for men and women in suits in this establishment, but by people out there. And it is that tradition we are about to disrupt today. This decision, rushed through Parliament in a matter of days, bundled with unrelated foreign neo-Nazi groups and debated for mere minutes, is a reckless abuse of process. It denies Parliament the gravity of deliberation this issue so badly demands. The prescription has already been condemned by a vast range of people, from Sally Rooney to Lord Faulkner, and this is going to continue. Because what is even worse, this statutory instrument risks criminalising anyone who supports, sympathises with, or even publicly praises Palestine Action's aims. It opens the door to the prosecution of journalists, filmmakers, campaigners and politicians for doing nothing more than expressing solidarity. This is Orwellian dystopia on steroids. Let us also ask ourselves honestly, if we set this president today, who will be next? History will judge us harshly on those who choose silence in moments of moral testing. I urge my colleagues, do not allow this dangerous step to go unchallenged. Do not allow a Home Secretary in a moment of political expediency to permanently expand the reach of its anti-terror laws into the heart of a domestic protest. And do not let this House be the one that shrank the boundaries of freedom of expression. We owe it to those who fought so hard for our freedoms, who dared to dissent, who refused to be silent, and let us summon their courages now. Vote against this proscription, protect our democratic tradition, protect our right to protest.
I now come to the Minister, Minister Dan Jarvis.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I'm grateful to all of those who contributed to this debate. The prescription of these three organisations affirms the UK's zero-tolerance approach to terrorism. To be clear, these prescriptions would not affect anyone's legitimate and lawful right to protest, whether that's about Palestine, Gaza or anything else. The government has to take action when Palestine Action has orchestrated a nationwide campaign of property damage featuring attacks that have resulted in serious damage, attacks that have resulted in serious damage to property and crossed the legal threshold. I'm not going to give way.
I think it's clear the Minister at this point is not wishing to give way. He does have until 5:27, so let's see how this progresses. Minister.
These are attacks that have resulted in serious damage to property and have crossed the legal threshold from direct criminal action into terrorism. They've used violence against people responding at the scenes of attacks. Members have been charged with a series of serious offences, including violent disorder, grievous bodily harm with intent, and aggravated burglary, which is an offence involving a weapon. So this order would degrade their harmful activity. It will also reduce the threat, particularly to vulnerable individuals, from MMC's violent content, and it will reinforce our support for Ukraine and commitment to countering extreme right-wing terrorism in Europe. Madam Deputy Speaker.
I'm on my feet. This is a very tight debate that has to conclude at 5:20. The Minister has time. He may wish to take your intervention shortly. Is your point of order really relevant right now?
Let me explain. I want to know, if this order goes through and I go out there to the demonstration that's mobilising at the moment to say I'm opposed to this, will I be prosecuted?
Not a point of order. The Minister may wish to respond. He has a few minutes to do so, but that's not a point of order. Minister.
Madam Deputy Speaker, I'm happy to respond directly to the Right Honourable Gentleman's point of order. The, the process involving prescription action requires this House to agree it. Should it do so later this evening, it then goes to the other place and it will be for them to agree it or not. It will then be for the Home Secretary or for myself to sign an order, and the order would then become law at midnight on the night that it had been signed. I'm not going to give way to the Right Honourable Gentleman. Madam Deputy Speaker, I'm grateful for the House...
Minister, continue.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. I don't think the Right Honourable Gentleman listened to what I said. I just explained to him the process that is in place. I am grateful to all of those who've considered this matter. It is a necessary and proportionate step to protect the public and defend our values. That is, after all, the first duty of the state, and under this government, nothing will matter more. And with that, Madam Deputy Speaker, I commend this order to the House.
The question is, this is not a time for a point of order. The question is, as on the order paper, as many as are appealing say aye.
Aye.
Off the contrary, no.
No.
Division, plenary. Are we ready? The question is, as on the order paper, as many of that opinion say aye.
Aye.
Of the contrary, no.
No.
The tellers for the ayes are Jen Kitchen and Christian Wakeford, and the tellers for the noes are Bel Rivera, Addy and Ayub Khan.
Order, order.
The ayes to the right, 385. The noes to the left, 26.
The ayes to the right were 385, the noes to the left, 26. So the ayes have it, the ayes have it. Unlock.
Point of order.
Point of order, Carla Denyer.
As Madam Deputy Speaker knows, every single person who just voted no wanted to vote yes to the prescription of the Maniacs murder cult and the Russian imperial movement, but were prevented from doing so by the cynical way that the government lumped together these two clearly terrorist organisations with Palestine Action, which we could not support. Can the Speaker please advise me and those other MPs who just voted no if there is any way in future that prescription orders for unrelated organisations can be voted on separately so that each MP can apply their own critical assessment of whether each group has met the tests of proportionality and necessity required for a terrorist prescription.
Thank the Honourable Lady for having given notice of her point of order. The Chair does not have the power to separate out decisions on the contents of a statutory instrument. In making her point of order, she has put her points and her concerns on the record. Point of order, Zahra Sultana.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker. During the previous debate on the prescription of Palestine Action, the member for High Peak, who I have notified, spoke without declaring that he is chair of Labour Friends of Israel and has accepted hospitality and overseas trips funded by pro-Israel lobby organisations. The House was discussing a non-violent direct action group that directly challenges the Israeli state, which is on trial for genocide against the Palestinian people. Can you advise me, Madam Deputy Speaker, on what mechanisms are available so the British public are truly aware of what interests are being represented on this floor?
I thank the Honourable Lady for her point of order and indeed for having given advance notice of it. The procedure for raising a complaint of this sort is by writing to the Parliamentary Commissioner for Standards, and it is not a matter for the Chair.